This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Grammy award-winning American singer, songwriter, actress and poet, my absolute shero. We are speaking with the amazing Jill Scott, who will be headlining tour here in Australia, and she'll be performing in Melbourne tomorrow night, November the 19th. Welcome to the stage, gorgeous Jill Scott.
Oh, thank you so much.
Jill, are you used to this? Like, is everyone gaga around you like I am right now?
Not all the time.
You so are.
But thank you.
Now, I want to start off with how it started for you. It started for you with words.
Yes.
So you were a poet and you were writing poetry. Can you take us back to when you started writing? Because you only worked with words. It was naked. It was raw. You were vulnerable on a stage.
Well, that was the beginning. I am still very much a poet. It begins with words. I always figured if I didn't have anything to say, I wouldn't sing. What's the point of just humming a tune if there's no purpose, there's no passion, there's no integrity, there's no love and all the wonderful things that come with being a human being. Mm-hmm. So, yes, it all begins with the words, and from there began a voice.
Okay, a voice. So the singing, how did you incorporate the singing into the words?
Well, the melodies just started coming.
Okay.
I'm very much an organic singer and writer. Mm-hmm. So I would write, and all of a sudden I was on a stage. I was performing poetry in Philadelphia, and I don't know what happened. Mm-hmm. I honestly don't know. I just started singing. And
what was the response, Jill?
First it was dead silence, which scared me, terrified me, like, uh-oh, maybe I just did the wrong thing. And then it was this amazing look. It was a look on people's faces, more so than it was applause or anything else. It was this look. Mm-hmm. And then clapping came, you know, then the bravos and the cheers came. But initially it was dead silence. And I have always thought that silence was the best compliment you could give a vocalist.
Oh, absolutely, because they're in awe. They're in that moment with you.
It's wonderful.
Yeah, and I assume that doors opened from that moment for you.
At that point, not really.
No?
No, not really. I couldn't really find a job that would support my life, so I did a fellowship at a theater company, and then I did an apprenticeship, and that led me to Broadway, a play called Rent.
Yes.
And I did Rent for a few months, but by that time, I had already been in the studio with some producers that no one knew at the time, but Jazzy Jeff was a big part of that. Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince, he had a studio with a bunch of amazing producers and musicians, and he decided to pass the music along to other people. And by the time I was in my third month of doing Rent, I had a record deal.
Oh, my God.
It was freaky. I was like, okay, so what do I do? The option was there for me to go to Broadway and play a character that I wasn't playing in my cast.
Yeah.
And I thought, this could be good. This could be good.
Yeah.
And then I got a record contract, and I thought, I'll do that.
Yeah. Did that feel more more of you? Like, did that feel more home for you? Like, is that what you wanted more than the actual Rent job?
Theater is hard. You know, for anyone who is an actor and striving to be on a stage as an actor, theater is very difficult. It's a challenge because you have to stay within that character for 8 shows a week, you know, and you're under the same lights with the same clothes, saying the same things. And of course, you have to make it different and creative every night for yourself. But you have to stay within those parameters. And that was hard.
Yeah.
So being on stage singing my own music, I'm able to be free, really thoroughly free. And that's the best.
Now, Jill, you sold over 2 million copies, I assume, allegedly. I hope I haven't got that fact wrong, for your first album, which is really interesting because I don't know whether you knew your excellence or how much people loved you, but you love being on the bus. You're naughty. You love observing people like I do. I'm always staring out people and trying to listen out for conversations.
Oh, yeah.
So you were this person that was kind of like quite happily being Jill Scott and observing. Then you 2 million copies of your record. How did that change for you? Were you overwhelmed?
I was.
Yeah.
I was so accustomed to being the invisible writer in the back of the room, you know, watching people, watching movements and interactions and listening to ear-hustling conversations.
Yeah.
You know, so much of the writing comes from there.
Yeah.
And then I wasn't able to do that anymore. It was a shock to my system. I was prepared to sing. I was prepared for the stage, but I wasn't quite prepared for fame. It freaked me out. I just...
Did you retreat? Did you kind of...
I did. Yeah. I did. It didn't feel good to me. You know, I often tell young people or people who are just starting out in this business, try your best to have really good people around you because it affects them too. You know, and it if you are a believer in the creator of all things as I am, it makes it a challenge to have people idolize you as a human being.
Yeah.
You know, I'm fallible. I get confused. I get angry. I get lost. I get frustrated. I you know, everything that a human being is and can be, I get. I have all those feelings and experiences. So it was really weird for me to have other human beings place me on any level of a pedestal. So yes, I retreated.
But you've always remained under the radar with the celebrity world. Like,
yeah.
How have you done that, though, Jill Scott? Because you're so celebrated. I mean, you're famous.
I'm
joking.
Don't get lost in it. You know, it's really easy to. You have a bunch of people around you that will, you know, praise your socks off. But I don't want those people around me. I prefer to have real, genuine friends who don't lie to me, who support me when I need it, who... require support from me. You know, it's a give and take thing. And I catch the bus. I go grocery shopping. I take walks. I ride my bike. I do simple things just to reassure myself of my own humanity and not get lost in the stuff of it all. Because it's easy. It's really easy to do. And the industry is very fickle.
Yeah.
So one minute, you know, you're the belle of the ball. The next minute, you're the, you know, you're the janitor. So, you know, knowing that, I base my career off of longevity, you know, and I'd like to be doing this when I'm 65 years old. You know, I've met people like Nina Simone and, oh, my goodness, and Gladys Knight and Bette Midler and... Tina Marie.
Oh my God.
Those are the people that have that longevity.
Yes.
You know, they're revered, but they also have longevity.
Yeah.
And Nancy Wilson, you know, who was just a pleasure. Just a pleasure.
And where did you get your strength? I mean, I just sense that you're very well-centered, Jill. What was family like? I'm assuming, I know a little bit about Blue, your grandma, which I think is such a beautiful, beautiful name.
She's such a beautiful person. She really was.
What did she instill in you? I mean, is there a lot of you in, you know, did grandma teach you a lot of life skills, would you say?
Well, absolutely. I think the biggest one was I as a child, I'm showing my age, I was a real big fan of New Edition.
Yeah, oh my God, hello.
New Edition, and I had New Edition posters all over my wall.
Oh my God, I love New Edition.
Stickers and buttons, and one day I came home from school and she tore, not took, tore all my posters down.
Oh my God, this is Grandma Blue.
Oh my goodness, and my room was covered. And she said, "You're idolizing these boys. They're just boys."
Oh, wow.
And I was devastated. I was devastated. Like, how would you, if you love me, how could you do this to me? But years later, I understood what she meant. And that has just been the biggest life lesson. You know, don't idolize human beings.
Yeah.
And do your best to be respected, be appreciated, but don't, you know, fall into the traps of being idolized. It's not a good thing.
Absolutely. And also, dickmatized, which I want to know.
Yeah, which, that one too.
Which I think for, because I'm a lesbian, in case you haven't noticed, for Australia's gay only gay and lesbian radio station, I suppose the word would be I'm vaginatized right now.
Oh, no. I'm sorry.
It's okay. But, you know, with the dickmatized, I mean, that's what it's all about. Don't get lost in it. That song, It's So Gone, which is brilliant.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So, you know, maybe Blue was in there while you were writing.
Blue is always with me.
Yeah.
You know, I remember I was in her bed, and I must have been about 20, maybe 22, something like that.
Mm.
And a guy that I loved deeply called in the middle of the night, and he said he's on his way to get me. So I jumped up, and I was getting myself together because I'm going to go have a night out. And my grandmother said, if you go now, you'll always be going.
She's so spot on, though.
She was amazing. She's an amazing human being.
Yeah.
Just full of life lessons and laughter.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when my grandfather passed, I remember very clearly her laying on the floor with a pillow.
Mm-hmm.
And she screamed and hollered and cried into that pillow. She went to sleep. She must have slept for about 12, 14 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And when she woke up, she was right as rain.
Oh, wow.
And that let me know that it's really a good choice to have your feelings.
Yeah.
But don't allow them to rule your entire life.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, she got up and she made breakfast and she, you know, hung out and laughed and sat on the porch and spoke to neighbors and was right as rain.
Mm. So would you say you're less dickmatized now? You contained Jewel Scott? Much more contained.
I won't say that I'm a contained Jill Scott.
Yeah.
I think I'm a wiser Jill Scott.
Yeah.
You know, I really like to pay attention to myself and ask myself questions.
Mm.
Why are you so caught up in this person or in this thing? Why? Why?
Which comes through your lyrics. You're very self-reflective, and it's quite interesting that you studied to be a teacher, and I think it was an English teacher, am I right?
Yes.
And you kind of went, well, look, I don't know whether I want to do this. I think you quit. And you are an amazing teacher now through lyrics and music, which are teaching so many people how to be empowered. So I think we need to thank you for that, because you bring so much joy into everybody's life through music and sound, and your lyrics are incredible.
Thank you.
It's very empowering. I mean, do you see it that way as well, that, you know, things happen for a reason? You studied to be an English teacher. You realized that wasn't for you. That system wasn't working for you.
No.
Yeah. Why wasn't it?
I just didn't feel the teachers were supported enough.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, I said, okay, you know, you're going to do this. But you're never going to make enough money to support yourself, because in America, they just don't respect the people who are really going to be helping to define the future.
Mm.
And I didn't appreciate that at all. And I felt stifled by the curriculum. You know, there's more to teach than just, you know, math and science and English. There's more. There's so much more. There's humanity to teach.
Absolutely.
Particularly when they're not getting that at home.
Yeah.
So I got a lot of flack for trying to give life lessons as I went. And I got a lot of flack for adding music into my curriculum as well.
Wow.
Yeah, I thought it was a good idea. I still do.
Yeah.
You know, how do we learn the alphabet?
Oh,
you know,
God.
There's a song.
Yeah.
You know, and everything that can be learned, you know, you can learn it through music.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I had to find another path.
Let's talk about Lullaby.
Yes.
I mean, that's amazing. I was listening to Robert Glasper before I spoke to you. He's amazing. You collaborated with him on this album?
Yes, it was the most beautiful musical experience I've ever had.
Oh, wow.
We had 4 days.
Yeah.
To create an project. I had ideas of what I wanted to say and things that I wanted to hear, particularly chakra sounds, tones that affect the body and allow peace of mind.
Mm.
So we started with that and colors.
Oh,
and at that point, we began to play. Robert Glasper, Derek Hodge, who has a record out right now, an amazing bass player. He's on tour with Maxwell currently.
Oh, my God.
John Roberts, who is, his nickname is Little John Roberts. Little John is currently on tour with Neo and with TLC. He's a drummer. He's also my son's father.
Yes, he is your little son, who would be, what, 4 or 5 now?
He's 4. Oh. He's 4 and wonderful and funny and so cool to be around. He's just a joy. Yep. And also Andre Harris, who did A Long Walk with me, mm-hmm. and Is It the Way? Mm-hmm. And we went into the studio and just magic. Clapping and singing and just hugging each other, because we knew that this was not just for us. This was for the children. And it's for the adults as well. If you can't rest, if you find your world overwhelming, which I often do sometimes,
absolutely.
This is a record to listen to.
Mm. When do we have it? Or is it available?
Well, I'm still working that out.
I want it now.
I know. I intended on putting out 2 records this year, but with my film work, it was literally impossible to do.
Okay, now let's talk a little bit about film work, Miss Botswana.
Yes.
Now, you've even got a stamp, apparently. Allegedly, there's a stamp.
There is
of
a
Jill
stamp.
Scott in Botswana. Am I saying Botswana right? I feel really awkward when I say it. Am I saying it correctly?
Well, they say Botswana.
Okay, Botswana. I prefer when you say it. Tell me a little bit about that. I know we're running out of time, but tell me a little bit about your experience of living there. Apparently, you lived there for about 7 months to embrace the role and live it.
Yes.
What were you expecting and what did you get?
Well, I was told by Anthony Minghella, a world-renowned director and amazing human being, to put all my expectations aside.
Yeah.
He said, whatever you've seen, whatever you think, don't think it anymore. Let it go and allow yourself to experience what Botswana and Africa has to offer you.
Mm-hmm.
And I did. And I was pleasantly re-educated. Or I would say educated because I didn't know. Mm-hmm. I was pleasantly educated about people and the way of life and how beautiful the Creator has made this planet. The stars, the dirt, everything about Africa was just so affirming, absolutely affirming.
Which you don't really get through media. I mean, you didn't get eaten up by any wild animal. You came back, you're safe.
I'm sorry, say that again.
I mean, the media coverage around, you know, Africa is quite negative. And you've come back, you're still alive. You didn't get eaten by any wild animal.
No, I thought I was, though, at one point.
Really?
Yeah, I was in I did a safari about 4 or 5 times, 5 different safaris. And we stayed in tents. Mm. And I was coming out of the tent, minding my own business. And there was a pack of hyenas. And I was like, okay. This is real. You know, this is real. We saw ostrich crossing and, you know, in the highway, just have to wait for the ostrich to cross.
And oh, my God.
It just was amazing. The most amazing experience I've ever had.
Yeah.
Hands down.
Yeah. Now, have we got any movies coming up or what? Any acting at the moment?
Yes. I did a film called Baggage Claim. I don't know if it's out here yet.
Okay, yeah.
With Paula Patton.
Yeah, I've heard.
And I play her spicy sidekick, basically.
Mm.
And I am currently working on a film called Get On Up. It is the biopic of James Brown.
Oh, my God.
I play his wife, Dee Dee.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Because your face loves the camera, doesn't it? It draws you in. You've got a movie star smile. Yeah, you're pretty hot, though.
Aw, thanks.
You realize you're hot, though, don't you? Yeah?
Well, some days. Some days I'm like, ooh, I can't stand myself. Ooh, step back and, you know, kiss myself. But some days I'm like, oh, you know.
Yeah.
Those late nights when my little boy doesn't feel well or whatever the case. You know, I look just like any other mom.
Mm. Hey, now, Jill, do you hum when you write lyrics? I'm just curious.
Do I hum when I write lyrics?
Do you hum a lyric? Do you hum?
Do I hum? I hum pretty much for everything.
Okay.
I hum when I'm washing dishes. I hum.
I can imagine you humming. I can see it. That's why I'm asking you.
Yeah, most of the time. Most of the time when I work out, I hum whatever I'm doing, you know, but.
Who's your favorite artist that you've collaborated with? Because, I mean, come on, Anthony Hamilton, So In Love. I haven't stopped listening to that.
Love him.
Shame with Eve and the Egg. I mean, unbelievable.
Who is my favorite artist?
Yeah, because you've collaborated with quite a few.
Yeah, I think there's been quite a lot, but I think my favorite experience would have to be George Benson and Al Jarreau.
Oh my God, Al Jarreau!
That was really a learning experience.
Absolutely, it would have also been quite overwhelming because I would have been quite recognizing that time. Was it quite a while ago though? Obviously,
yeah,
a long time ago.
It was years ago.
Yeah,
and we ended up winning a Grammy for the performance that we did of "God Bless the Child."
Yeah. Wow. Favorite song to perform?
Favorite song to perform. Right now, I would say it's the slow version of Quick.
Oh, awesome.
Quick is the story of a terrible breakup. Terrible. And I normally do it, you know, when I recorded it, I recorded it very quickly.
Mm.
So it's maybe about a minute and maybe 2 minutes, 12 seconds, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I slowed it down so that you can hear the lyrics mm-hmm. and really feel what I'm saying.
Mm.
And it's a hard song for me to perform. Mm. It always hurts my feelings.
Yep.
But that's a part of being a vocalist. For any singers that are listening right now,
mm-hmm.
It's mandatory that you put your guts inside of every song.
Yeah,
mandatory. If it hurts you, then allow it to hurt on stage.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sometimes I can't get through quick. Sometimes I go inside of it and I get lost.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, my audience, you know, I look out and I see tears or I'll see, you know, hands in the air. You know, mm-hmm. I see people holding each other, you know, that's the joy of it all.
Mm.
You know, right now we're in this room mm-hmm. with these amazing musicians and I am with you and mm-hmm. we're feeling funky, we're feeling sexy, we're feeling strong, we're feeling empowered, we're feeling in this room.
Mm.
It's so much like church without it being church.
Yeah.
You know, it's jazz, it's funk, it's blues, it's classical, it's it's so many genres.
Oh, there's heaps of genres in your performance. I mean, it's unbelievable. I have to say that one song that I've recently listened to that I keep playing it and it brings up a lot of pain for me that I'd like for you to talk to me a little bit about. Hear My Call.
Yeah.
Even the video, everything about it makes me incredibly emotional, but at the same time, very hopeful.
Yeah.
And
that one was written very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of blurred, just fell out of my pen.
Mm.
I had a very challenging breakup. Breakups are, wow.
They're so full on, aren't they?
They are. They are. They make you reflect. They make you look at yourself. They make you ask questions if you have good sense.
Yeah.
If you don't, then you're going to continue the same path that you've already left.
Mm, mm.
You know, and I'm really grateful for my grandmother for that one.
Mm.
But, you know, you have to look at it. Hear My Call is me laying on the floor crying into my pillow.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it is.
Yeah. And back to your grandmother a little, you've got a foundation, Blue Foundation. Can you tell us quickly about that? Like, it's for artists?
Sure. The Blues Babe Foundation.
Yeah.
I'm her babe. I'm Blues Babe. So,
oh God, that's right.
Blues Babe Foundation is what was created to assist people from North Philadelphia. I'm from North Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And I know so many times with philanthropy, people will look outside of their own community to assist. And I think that's awesome. And I think it's, you know, good. There's good intentions there.
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel that you have to pay attention to where you come from, because there's somebody just like me in North Philadelphia who's been told that they're not going to amount to much because they're from North Philadelphia.
Absolutely.
And what we do is we supply scholarships.
Wow.
And we help those who are helping themselves. So you have to have a certain GPA,
mm-hmm.
and we will help you if you're tuition isn't covered, we'll help you with tuition. If your room isn't covered, your board, we take care of that. If you can't afford books, we help those who help themselves. So it's a really good feeling. We've got a couple of master's degrees and people who are really giving back. We have a camp, so we take kids from North Philadelphia and put them out into grass and trees.
God, how empowering.
Yeah, it feels good. It feels good because we don't want them to think that the world is just, shootings and
absolutely
violence and concrete.
Yeah, and it instills empowerment and faith and hope. And I mean, look, maybe you should give some lessons to the churches. Imagine if our churches were doing that. I mean, I'm sure that there's some amazing stuff that churches do, but what you're doing is just absolutely incredible.
It's interesting that you said that. We just had this conversation over breakfast.
Oh, really?
About churches and how they give people a lot of faith and reassurance. Mm-hmm. But also, I think that the church's work is to supply for its community.
Okay.
And I see a lot of preachers and pastors who have magnificent homes and cars, and some even have planes.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm thinking that there should be more universities.
Absolutely. Education.
And food.
Yep.
And clothing.
Yep.
And shelter.
Yep.
These are the things that are needed in a community. These are things that are needed in a country.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that churches, as much money as they make, that they should be providing these things.
Absolutely. I mean, it's very obvious to me and probably most people, which is fantastic that you've got such a foundation in helping people.
Well, I'm hoping that it'll be a trend, that there will be more Blues Bay foundations, one in Chicago, one in New York, where people are taking care of their particular community.
Yeah.
So if it's the Bronx, if it's Brooklyn, if it's, wherever, all over the country, if it's in Virginia, if it's Portsmouth, whatever the case may be, your community needs you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you get out of your community, if you walk away from it, then you always have to walk back.
Yes.
This is what grounds you. This is what keeps, this is empowering. And it, honestly, selfishly, it just feels good. It just feels so good.
Because you're giving, Jill. You're giving. You're giving a very big part of you. And of course it feels good because it's love. I mean, it's not coming from fear. It's not coming from hate. It's coming from the opposite of fear, which is love.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it honestly, it just feels so good. It affirms my life, knowing that there's a kid who didn't believe that they were ever going to leave their neighborhood or their block or their circumstances.
Yeah.
And they have an opportunity to eat healthy food. We bring doctors in to talk to them about their health. We bring in bankers to talk to them about money and how to open a bank account and how to invest, and dancers so they can move their bodies.
My God, yes.
I'm
getting excited because I know this may sound judgmental, but I was getting a little bit frustrated because this morning I was watching somebody devour into a burger and fries early in the morning, like at 8 o'clock in the morning. And I was just like, my God, like this is little things about education that we just don't, we forget, we don't instill. And I just love that you're so open and aware and self-reflective, and how you want to share your love with kids out there that don't get that love from home. And
I've learned so much. Just coming from North Philadelphia, I realized I didn't know how to eat. You know, yes, we had the southern foods like collard greens and at the time, I don't eat meat now, but at the time we had pork chops and fried chicken and things that taste good but weren't necessarily good for our bodies.
No.
It's a treat. It's not a meal on a daily basis. And I've learned that. I've learned how to eat better. And I've lost some weight, and I feel good about that. And, I try to stay in the gym and, walk and ride my bike and,
You love your body. I get a sense you really love your body, because I love your body and I love the way you embrace it. And it's very positive and affirming. Love the fact that you're not eating meat, though. That's great, because I'm not either, and it's quite nice.
It is quite nice.
Isn't it?
In some countries, it's a challenge to have anything with meat.
Yep.
You know, that's the hard part.
Yep.
When I go to Spain, I love
Spain. Yep.
But they put pork in everything, even the rice, even the corn, even the vegetables, it's in everything.
Yeah, and they've got lots of prosciutto and smoked meats that are beautiful. And I'm Greek, so can you imagine?
Lamb. Right.
Yeah, so we're both challenged, but I know my body feels better for not eating it.
But that is one of the best audiences I've ever enjoyed. I love being in Spain because they're just so passionate. You know, and all of a sudden I could speak Spanish. I was shocked.
Oh my God, really?
You know, I know a little Spanish.
Yeah.
But it was just, I was cracking jokes in Spanish and laughing, and I was
hysterical.
Like, wow, this is great. You know, so
yeah.
it's it is what it is.
Yeah.
And I just really enjoy my life. And, you know, I said it and I meant it. I am literally trying my best to live my life like it's golden, like it matters, like it's important. Mm. You know, it's such a gift and it doesn't have to be given to any one of us.
No.
I like sleeping.
You like sleeping?
I rest well and I enjoy the fact that I can look myself in the mirror without regret.
How great is sleep, especially being a mum?
Yeah.
And a very, very busy woman. My God, you must crave it.
Oh, yeah. I get it. You know, I get it. I have wonderful family around us that support us. And they'll say, you look like you need a couple hours.
And my son
will say, Mommy, I think you need to take a nap.
Mm. Does he like lying on your chest? Does your son love lying on your chest? I'm having a visual of him just lying on Mommy. Does he love cuddles?
He loves to cuddle.
Yeah.
That's one of his favorite things to do. When we have our dates, you know, he wants to find his favorite movies, and he wants to order pizza, and he wants to cuddle. And it's such a nice night. And then we dance to whatever music is playing.
God.
And we have a really great time. He's got a wonderful musical palette.
Yeah, I bet he does.
He does. He's into Jose James.
Oh, my God. He knows. I was just listening to that before. My God, yeah.
Yeah, he really likes the tone of his voice.
Wow.
As well as, of course, Michael Jackson. You can't get enough of Michael Jackson.
Yeah, I'm still obsessed with Michael Jackson. He was amazing.
Who wouldn't be? Why wouldn't he be?
I have arguments with people in the street if they don't respect Michael Jackson. Hello.
You know what? Interestingly enough, this morning I was saying to my cohorts that the Bible is still being written.
Mm.
And it may not be called a Bible the next time around, I don't know, but I feel like people were brought into our lives to show us something.
Mm.
And Michael Jackson, I believe, is one of those people.
Oh my God, absolutely.
He was famous from the time, you know, he was 6 years old, and having to deal with that, I mean, it's fantastic, but also kind of like the trials of Job.
I think it's really sad. I think it is fantastic because he gave us such an incredible gift.
He did.
But I actually think it's really sad because his childhood was taken away from him.
Yes.
Completely and utterly. I mean, we were talking about you being on the bus before and being able to observe human behavior and write your amazing lyrics, and yet you were overwhelmed from, you know, selling 2 million copies of your album. But imagine that being taken away from you at the age of 6.
Yeah.
I mean, you just can't even, I can't even go there. It makes me quite sad.
Well, that's the thing about, you know, about fame.
Mm.
You know, some people really live for it and embrace it, and I applaud them, you know, that they're able to, you know, have that capacity and still be human, you know, just simply human, beautifully human.
Mm.
But at the same time, we notice that a lot of those same people get burnt out, and then next thing you know, they're hospitalized, you know, for being exhausted or just doing way too much.
Absolutely.
You know, it's a cost to everything that we do.
Mm.
There's a cost. Mm. I've learned in the last 13 years how to travel. I've learned that I need rest.
Mm.
I've learned that the voice is not a horn that I can just pick up and blow. It is something that needs good food.
Yeah.
It needs quality rest.
Mm.
It needs peace.
Yeah.
You know, and it needs me to work out to expand my lungs and to keep them healthy. And, you know, I'm not a machine. I'm a person. And that I've had to teach record labels. I've had to teach managers. I've had to teach assistants.
Mm.
That peace of mind is the biggest gift and the biggest requirement for any artist.
And I bet you've pissed off a lot of people along the way because you've remained true to yourself and you haven't treated yourself just as, you know, the performer that has to perform and plug out all these albums and money, you know what I mean? Which is wonderful because you're respecting who you are.
I have to.
Yep.
It's the only me that I have.
Mm.
And the alternative is what?
Mm. Exactly.
Is what? To gain the world and lose my soul, I'm not interested.
Mm. Absolutely.
I'm just not interested.
Yeah. Is there anyone you're listening to at the moment that's inspiring you or just kind of keeping you humming around the house?
Oh, yes. Yes, and she actually came over recently and hung out with me and my son for an evening, and it was just beautiful. Her name is Lara Mvula.
Lara Mvula, which I'm going to write down, yeah.
Beautiful, and it's spelled the way it sounds, Mvula, Mvula.
Oh, yeah.
She's out of London,
yeah.
And her lyrics are magnificent. Her voice is simply gorgeous, and I've fallen for her. Her videos are fantastic.
Wow.
She's really stunningly gorgeous, just an incredible artist, and an all-around good person.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay. You reading? Are you reading anything at the moment?
I'm writing every day.
You're writing every day.
Thank goodness. Thank goodness. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I was, normally I write in the tub.
You write in the what? The tub the when tub. You're wet?
In the tub.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, that's how it goes down.
Oh, that goes down. Jill Scott in the tub writing some lyrics, being inspired. Yeah. Can you write a song for me called Anastasia, maybe? See how you go.
You know, it comes from my grandmother. My grandmother used to, I used to listen by the door, and she would be in the tub, and she'd sing. She'd thank God for her feet and her legs and her hands and her stomach and her back. And, yeah, she was washing her body. She'd be praising God about all of it, you know, and that's where the singing comes from.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Could she sing, though? Could she sing?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Beautifully, beautifully, passionately.
Yeah. When are we getting an album?
I
don't know.
Definitely sure 2014.
Okay.
If not one, then two.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I definitely need to put out the lullaby album for babies that are coming, for babies that are here, and for grown-ups who can't write.
Oh, you've got to do it for all the babies and all the adults, for people. I mean, honestly.
And to think that this music has been lovingly created by Robert Glasper, who has a 4-year-old son, and by John Roberts, who has a 4-year-old son and a 16-year-old daughter and a 7-year-old daughter as well.
Yeah. One quick thing, though, I want to say that someone that was told that they couldn't have a baby for so long, check you out.
I know, right?
Yep.
Surprise.
Yep. Stick that up, yo.
Again, we went into a temazcal in Mexico, and we you know, a temazcal is like a little hut, but it's really, really hot, and they're almost unbearable.
Mm.
And we went to temazcal, and we prayed.
Wow.
You know, that's what it was really all about. We just, you know, just prayed for this baby to come.
Mm.
And surprisingly, maybe not even a surprise, but it was a surprise for me. I was shocked. I thought I was dying.
Yeah. Wow.
I didn't know what was wrong with me.
It would be amazing and so liberating, though, to think that you couldn't have a child and then being told that, yes, you're pregnant, you're about a miracle. You've just been given a miracle. It would have been, I can't even imagine the feeling.
I first, definitely shock.
Mm.
Shock. And then this fear.
Mm.
Terror, like, oh my God, I'm going to have a baby.
Mm.
What do I do?
Mm.
How do I do?
Mm.
You know, I've never been a mother or contemplated being a mother because I was told I couldn't have children.
Yeah.
So now, you know, the reality of it all sinks in, and it's been an interesting ride, to say the least. You know, I've learned how to be a mom.
Mm.
I've learned how to be an artist and be a mom.
Mm. Which would be so challenging. I can't even imagine.
It is challenging.
Yeah.
It is very challenging because, you know, oftentimes I come from the road and I'm whooped.
Yeah, hello.
You know, and at first I would come home and try my best to pretend to be all right. And I said, who am I fooling? You know, who am I kidding? I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
I need to rest.
Mm.
So luckily, I have family that loves us.
Mm.
And they recognize what I do. And they say, okay, you know, take a couple of days or take a few hours or whatever it is that you need.
Mm.
And gradually work your way back in.
Mm.
And it's made me a better mom. Mm,
I bet. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Can you imagine your life without singing? Can you imagine not being able to sing? Have you ever imagined not doing this?
I've had to.
Mm, of course.
I've had to imagine it because I lost my hearing
oh my God.
A few years ago.
Yep.
I went deaf for about 7 days.
Okay.
And
You can hear me now, though, can't you?
yeah, I hear you loud and clear. I'm a really superbly blessed woman. I've lost the use of my legs for 7 days.
Wow!
And when I was a child, I had some kind of virus or something, and I lost, you know, the use of my legs for 7 days.
Oh,
and on the seventh day, you know, I got up.
Yeah. Wow.
Pretty amazing.
Mm.
And I lost my hearing for 7 days. And
then
I heard these horrible, horrible sounds. And then it kind of just clicked and I could hear again.
Mm, my God. I can hear a song coming up maybe 7 days.
Something is, I don't know, something about those 7 days.
Seven days. That's psycho.
I'm so not interested in any other, you know, infirmities. I'm not interested, you know, but it made me question. It made me think, okay, if I can't sing, what will I do? You know, I will write. You know, I will write. I will write screenplays. I will write novels. I will write poetry. I will write, you know, and then I got comfortable with that. And just when I got comfortable with that, that's when I could hear again.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
It pretty much is. This life has been, thus far, it's been my absolute favorite.
And you're just, I mean, look, I just want to spend the rest of my life with you, to be honest, but I can't. That's the reality.
Tell me you're coming to the show.
I'm so coming tomorrow night.
Yay!
Like, hello? I'm there with bells on.
Great.
So I can't wait. I'm hoping that it's going to be quite intimate because I don't want, like, I'm a bit of a short ass and I don't want to have to fight the crowd for Jewel's attention. You know what I'm saying?
I have no idea what to expect with this Australian crowd.
Yeah.
I have no idea. And I'm really excited about it. That is, you know, that's really titillating.
Yeah.
To not know what to expect.
Yes.
I don't know. I've heard things about Japanese audiences. They're very quiet until the end. I know that in Ireland or in Scotland, they're going to pound the walls and pound their fists till the whole building is shaking.
Oh, my God, it's terrible.
I know that in Amsterdam that they will not let me off the stage.
Nothing.
You know what I mean? That I can do shows at 4 o'clock in the morning there, and the line is going to be around the corner.
Yep.
But what to expect?
Yep.
I don't know.
I think you're going to make a lot of people cry. I'm going to the Sydney one as well because I'm obsessed.
Yay!
Which is on the Saturday. I'm completely obsessed with you, and there are so many people that absolutely love you and adore you. And we're actually quite shocked that we've actually got Jill Scott in Australia. I mean, hello.
This will not be the last time.
It better not be, Jill.
No, it definitely will not be. We got here yesterday exhausted. The whole team is just kind of beat up.
Mm.
But we got here and the weather was lovely and the people
they're have friendly.
Been so sweet.
Yeah.
Just uber friendly, and it's so pleasant to have conversations about something other than music or whatever. We're just talking about life, and it's been really, really nice. I've enjoyed that.
Mm. Jewel, I can't thank you enough for sharing your time with me. I feel incredibly blessed, just like your song, which is absolutely fantastic. It makes you reflect and be very thankful for what we have. And thank you for being Jewel Scott and giving us such an amazing gift. You make me cry when I listen to you. You inspire me. You empower me. You give me hope and love. And I cannot wait to see you on stage tomorrow. I'm going to maybe fly on the stage. I'm going to try to work something out because I really feel like I need a cuddle from you and just to touch a part of your body.
Okay, don't get smacked.
Smack will be fine, but look, I'm just in awe, and I think you're a beautiful woman, and thank you for your gift to us, really.
Oh, thank you so much for your support.
Oh.
This has been a lovely conversation.
I've loved every bloody moment.
So have I. Thank you.
Jewel Scott, thank you. I can't wait to see you tomorrow night.
All right, Anastasia.
Okay.
Oh, my God, Anastasia.
That's right, honey.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Bye, darling. Bye-bye. Thank you, Jewel. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.